You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Around the NFL podcast is really weird.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, if it's Tuesday, it's Colleen Wolf and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, people?
Hey, gang. What's up?
What's up? You're all here. Good. Good to have you here.
I didn't feel like doing the hey.
You made
hey,
it.
Hey.
I like that. Branching into new territories.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're an innovator.
Yes. Hey, gang. It's really something new. Trailblazer.
This is the Tuesday edition of the Around the NFL podcast. Yes. Presented, of course, by Head & Shoulders. Boys. If you want to combine shampoo and conditioner, Mark, Head & Shoulders, I believe, is the only product that does that. So
used it 2 days ago inside of my house.
Really?
Yeah.
Your hair looks great. I was wondering. I noticed it.
It's all
shiny.
Because of that product.
You've been known to use it outside your house, too, just on the front lawn. Just give it
I will bring smaller bottles of it on the road to work trips.
I've seen Mark drinking it on occasion.
Drink it if I need to.
Strange move, but
I think you might have a problem, Mark.
Stay
Maybe
dehydrated.
I should try that.
Stay dehydrated.
Big show today. Our Tuesday show. So much to get to. In fact, I want to tell you what's coming up today. Monday night football recap. Tough times for the Throne of Ease in Miami. That game we will get into what happened to the Patriots on Monday Night Football. Also, we're going to get into the latest news and, of course, the Carson Wentz situation. Connie, I'll give you credit. God. Your spirits are pretty high considering that's happened.
We'll get into it. But I've been waiting for something like this terrible to happen.
Yes.
So
yeah, you're
I was
on
prepared.
Record on that. And it's been a while, so let's bring back one of our favorite games on the Around the NFL podcast. What's more likely? Regular season homestretch edition. Is everyone within the guidelines of the game, Mark? Especially you, Mark.
The guidelines.
Is it connected to the end of the regular season? You're what's more likely.
Not like the postseason. I mean, not
about apocalypse.
It includes
scenarios.
Home stretch of the season.
What are the parameters again?
By the way, yeah, you're looking at me for the parameters of the game we play. Colleen infamously has no idea what the rules are ever with these.
Well, that's a different problem.
Okay. Wait a second. I don't know. It's fine.
That's fine. We'll make it work. So, yeah, action-packed show coming up. Very excited. To talk about football with you guys. And again, good to see you.
Yeah,
good to see you. Tonight,
sounds
by the way.
Sounds like there's a party going on in here.
Yeah.
What was that?
Did you get that cleared, by the way, Greg? That was Greg, Shadowy League Figures, playing uncleared music on the podcast. Get him out of the company.
I hope that wasn't Cardi B.
Just sweep him right out just to be safe.
I think that was an ad on NFL.com, so we're clear.
Oh, we're good.
Be completist and sweep Greg out, too.
By the way, the NFL Network holiday party is tonight.
Uh-oh.
Beautiful.
Yeah, get ready.
Watch out for my Instagram.
Well.
Mark.
I will be. Thank you for the alert.
Colleen also did like a 75-second Cardi B freestyle right before the show.
Yeah.
And we're one of these years recently, we ended up in a West Side famous karaoke establishment.
The Gaslight.
The Gaslight. If we end up there again, maybe a little Cardi B comes out.
100%. I'll do it. That's, you know, Jewel goes there.
I've watched some
your
footage
girl.
Of Jewel.
I'd like to see Jewel has do been a little boat
uh-huh.
Aquila.
Cuba Gooding Jr. was there last week, apparently.
Cuba?
Kristen, my friend Kristen, who love I used Chris. To live with. Yeah, she was there, and she said she ran into Cuba. Cuba, not Cuba.
I think you're right. Cuba Gooding Jr.?
I don't know.
All right. Anyway, yeah, so much to get to, so let's dig in, starting, yes, with Monday Night Football.
He has plenty of time and throws a deep bomb. Cooks trying to run under it, and it's intercepted. Second of the night by Xavien Howard, his fourth in the last two games. Looking for blockers and runs out of bounds as he crossed midfield.
Tom Brady intercepted two times by Xavien Howard. Ooh, nice little two-week stretch for the Baylor product. And the Patriots never converted a third down as the Miami Dolphins snapped the Patriots' eight-game winning streak, a 27-20 victory at Miami Gardens at Hard Rock Stadium.
Ooh.
So, yes, Greg? The Patriots fall to 10-3. They've lost their first game on the road in, I believe it was, 18 games?
They had won 14 straight.
14 straight. Not the most crushing loss for the Patriots, because if they beat the Steelers next week, everything seems A-okay for getting that first seed. But there's some troubling signs here. Yes, no, maybe so?
Absolutely, because it was a thorough beatdown. The final score was very misleading. The Dolphins were significantly better. Now, you could say strange things happen. Sometimes you play a team twice in 3 weeks. I think Adam Gase and his defensive coordinator, Matt Burke, deserve a lot of credit for coaching circles around the Patriots. They had a really good game plan, especially on offense. But the problems that you saw with New England, I think, have been bubbling up for a few weeks. Number one, they don't have great protection of Tom Brady. He's taken a ton of hits. He's also
six times he was sacked last night.
He's missing practice. You know, I think that's pretty significant, an entire practice for an Achilles injury. And then number two, someone name, you know, in this room, who is the best player in the Patriots front seven that played last night?
Eric Lee.
Who's that guy?
Can you name
the undrafted free agent?
Can you name a player in the Patriots?
I can name the players that they were missing.
They were without a bunch of players on both sides.
Trey Flowers, Alan Branch.
Flowers was out. Eric Lee's been great for the past month.
I mean, he played two games. He was an undrafted guy that joined the team 2 weeks ago.
To your point, though, they're lacking star power in the front seven.
I mean, not just star power, but guys that were even in the role like a month ago or have ever been in a situation like this. Like, I think at some point that catches up. And they were missing their two key players, Kyle Van Noy and Trey Flowers. And at some point, I think that's going to catch up when you play.
You look at the box score, and if you didn't watch the game, you would have thought that they flipped the teams. Because New England, who has been the one thing they have been week to week, able to use their running backs in so many diverse ways. And it's one guy this week, it's Rex Burkhead the next, it's Deion Lewis, 25 yards on the ground. I feel like Miami just came out with a much more physical game plan.
I mean,
Miami just ran through them all night.
They were all over Tom Brady, the defense was. But, I mean, look at Xavien Howard. What a great game he had. He completely shut down Brandon Cooks. He had the two interceptions. And look at his last two games. He has four interceptions.
Yeah, he really looked good. He was tight in coverage. And let's go to Jay Cutler now. I mean, Cutler... A guy that's career is supposed to be over, and we've all had a lot of fun at Jay's expense. He outplayed Tom Brady, and it wasn't even close. And he really, let's be honest, should have had four touchdowns if not for a drop by Jakeem Grant that would have put the game away.
Right.
He played extremely well, was careful with the football. There was only one Jay Cutler moment where he opted not to run for a first down and instead threw an incomplete pass that kept the Patriots in business a little bit longer. But in general, this was a really, really vintage, when I say vintage good, because there was good Jay Cutler once upon a time.
Like,
this
how
was
vintage?
Old school Jay.
Where do you go back to?
2013?
Okay.
That realm, early 2013, that zone?
Like college,
or
maybe?
Even 2007. I mean, his second year for the Broncos, I don't know if that was 06 or 07, he was awesome, fun to watch. It was a weird feeling watching this because I was obviously disappointed as a Patriots fan, but there was a part of me that has loved the Jay Cutler experience throughout his career, and this is almost certainly his last primetime game, and it just felt like a very Jay Cutler thing to randomly go out on filleting the Patriots up and down. You're just like, what? What just happened? And as much as they outplayed the Patriots, they deserve a lot of the credit. Sometimes it takes great performances to win these games, and you just assume the Patriots are bad, and they were bad. But Xavien Howard, those interceptions were incredible. Jakeem Grant's touchdown was incredible. Kenyon Drake has been and away better than Jay Ajayi ever was in Miami this year. And so those guys deserve credit, too, for beating
that
them.
That spin move that set up the third Dolphins touchdown, they said it on the telecast. It was Barry Sanders-esque. It was, so Jay Ajayi, who hasn't had a huge impact in Philly either, that trade is looking really good for Miami, who got a younger player involved with better knees and all that.
There's no facts behind this, but I feel like had this game happened at 1 p.m. Eastern anonymously on a Sunday, New England wins the game. And then you somehow put the Dolphins in these incredible uniforms from years of old.
Oh, my God, they
look
beautiful.
It's just something about the whole energy of the game felt pro-Miami from the very beginning.
We talked about this last week, that it's a real thing. The Patriots, historically, in the Brady era, have struggled in Miami. I mean, it's something that
what
numbers
the
back up, and
that?
We saw it again. It's just a weird thing, and it's not
Don't
just
tell
the humidity.
Bill Belichick about it.
Yeah, in fact, let's hear from Bill Belichick, by the way, who the game ended. Miami actually got a first and goal from the 1 foot line with about a minute to play. They had a timeout in their pocket, and they were unable to punch it in, settled for a field goal, so they're down 7 points. Onside
Patriots
comes up.
Failed to get it.
My bad. Yeah. And Steven Gostkowski then attempts a really bizarre onside kick where he just kind of squibs it, kind of almost lackadaisically. I think it was on purpose. It was trying to a sneak attack. I don't know what was going on.
They've done it two or three times. It never works. It's always as embarrassing as this over the last, three or four years.
And speaking of Belichick, not in the best mood. Bill is not usually in a great mood in the postgame presser, but especially after a loss.
Is he ever in a good mood?
Not typically, but after a loss
this
like this.
Next level.
One reporter was brave enough to ask if perhaps the Patriots are kind of looking past the Dolphins with a huge matchup against the Steelers on deck. Let's hear what happened.
I think any of the guys might have been looking ahead to next week, looking past Miami.
That was giving me a break for you, the hearing
impaired.
Any
questions about the game or no?
My God.
I kind of love it.
The give me a break under his breath is definitely a home run.
He's so condescending to reporters, though. I would hate to cover the Patriots.
I really think it's almost uncomfortable to watch. It is condescending, but to me it's more that he's hollowed out. Dan, you said detached at some point. That football is everything to him, and when they lose, it's like he's an empty vessel. He's not even there. And I've seen it after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's also throwing shade at everybody too.
Big losses, and he's just like that's like the only thing he can muster up is that.
I agree with you,
Greg,
but
it's a weird thing to look at.
I agree with you, but that also dismisses the idea that 31 other head coaches that football is maybe just 50% of their life. They don't care as much as Bill Belichick. No, you have media responsibilities.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm over it, Belichick. I don't like how everybody laughs and they're like, "Oh, look at the way that he treats everybody like crap."
He also,
yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't like that relationship. I don't like that dynamic.
And I think he knows in his heart that that's the worst December performance they've had in a long, long time. And I don't think it was totally random. I know we've been saying on this podcast, clear the road. They're just gonna do it. And there's part of me that, as a Patriots fan, is hoping for that. But if you look back, they played terribly against Miami 2 weeks ago. There were certainly issues. Buffalo. I know they ended up winning that game, but if you watch, it was a lot of crazy.
They've had bad halves here and there.
There's things that have been happening on that team
tough.
I don't think it means they're a bad team, but I just think it means they're one of the many teams that has a chance to win the Super Bowl, and they're just
but if you're the Steelers
teams.
Could you pick a worse scenario than having to face New England after they come off a disappointing loss?
I agree with that.
They're
That's
still
bad.
An extremely heavy favorite. Almost anybody that follows
fine.
The game sees the Patriots as a heavy favorite, not just another team in the mix.
I hear you, and I know metrics aren't everything, but like when I see them, for instance, in football, so in terms of their team efficiency, that they were the seventh team in the league going into this week, before this performance, that doesn't shock me watching them week to week. I think they've overachieved. I think Belichick's done an incredible job. I don't think they're a heavy favorite in Pittsburgh. I don't think they're a favorite at all. I think at best that's a coin flip game versus two teams that have both had some issues lately.
They're going to have to shut down Pittsburgh's offense. That is going to be tough with the way they played last night.
Mark, let's talk about you. You seem to be enjoying the game quite a bit, according to your Twitter feed.
Ooh.
Very controversial, some of your comments. We want to just maybe just read them back if you happen to not catch it. Do you want to read them or do you want me to read them for you?
I feel like I've had my say.
Okay, here's what Mark had to say during the game. Patriots fans given a glimpse. Ooh, can we get some type of music in here? Patriots fans given a glimpse of the bone black future, a time when self-absorbed massholes, vicariously seeing themselves as mini Belichicks in workplace and life, awakened to an earth reality where New England gets throttled weekly and you must survive.
Whoa. Dark.
What else we got there? We got anything else?
People from New England did not enjoy that tweet I'm discovering today.
Weird. I can't believe that.
Patriots fans aren't comfortable losing games in December. This is a separate tweet. Let's ponder how that might feel for the most dangerously self-entitled, self-obsessed fan base on the orb. How will they endure? Will they hang? And last one, how quaint, small, and shriveling it all becomes when your sports team suffers. Suddenly, you aren't the smartest human in your insignificant workplace.
Oh, my God.
Suddenly, your so-called takes don't hold up Earth's infrastructure. What a stunner. Mark, first of all, bravo.
I like to call that
Indiana Jones music playing is great.
A trilogy of tweets.
That's Lindsay's excellence behind the glass. Mark, bravo, first of all. But it has not gone too well in your mentions. A little RIP scenario for you?
It's as the show proceeds, I'm actively blocking people because I don't have a problem with them saying, hey, I hate your take. I hate what you said. Leave us alone. You don't understand Patriots fans. But some people, I logged into Instagram this morning and people are ripping my family members and other stuff. And I said, you're kind of proving my point a little bit with that reaction. But I went at him hard and I understand, I respect the Patriots enough over the years. Greg knows that. And I'm a little excited to watch a different type of result last
Mark
year.
Mark doesn't hate all Patriots fans because he likes Greg.
So. And Greg is not a
borderline. I would say Mark has mixed feelings about Greg at best.
No, that's
you're
not a typical Patriots fan though. You are.
No, and as a friend,
that's what
a
I wouldn't even put you
fan,
in the
so
category.
He can't hate Patriots fans.
That's a separate issue. But
it is always fun, whether you hate the Patriots or not. It's just a little bit more fun when the Patriots are facing some adversity.
Let's be real. We see these comments in some form or another every single Monday night. The only difference is Mark put it on Twitter instead of a group text.
I one day will release a book of Mark's texts about the Steelers from this season, and it will blow the lid off society.
The texts themselves, like, I love when I somehow get on these chains, and then I will get a Mark Sessler text that is, you just have to continue scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and then it will just end with a blue butterfly emoji.
I like sometimes, like, my wife and I are wrapping up dinner on a Friday night, and suddenly I look and... wait, there's 38 texts waiting for me?
I have been actively working to calm down on that tendency, but
no, you shouldn't.
Anyway, well done, Mark. Let's do some news.
I look in NBA, NFL, baseball. Ain't nobody seen a brimless hat, so I wanted to put the first one behind the scenes with the brimless hat. So you've seen it here first, Cam Newton, brimless hat. Dripping.
Okay.
It's a walk-off.
He looks like a member of like the Masonic Lodge.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Come on, Cam Newton.
His campaign speech.
The dreaded possibility became official for the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday. Eagles coach Doug Peterson confirmed that Carson Wentz indeed did suffer a season-ending knee injury, tearing his ACL in his left knee in Philly's 43-35 win over the Rams in week 14. Wentz will undergo surgery and hopefully be ready for the start of next season. The big surprise, I guess, that came from Peterson's press conference was that the injury did not come when he got hit by two players at once as he crossed the goal line. But when he planted his leg, I guess, before he made that dive, which, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's just one of those things. How do you avoid it? And it's just very depressing. Connie, we'll start with you.
Man.
Actually, I want to let's set you up this way, Connie.
Great.
All through this incredible Eagle season, and there's still a lot to be excited about despite this, as you know, but we had been checking the temperature of Connie Fox to see where you were. In fact, after I think it was a particularly...
It was the Monday night breakout game by Carson Wentz earlier in the season.
Yeah, earlier in the season, last month maybe, we checked in with you. Here's what you had to say at that time. Super confident that every week now they're just going to roll.
No, no, because I've been hurt so many times by this team. It's like it's hard for me to trust them. And they look so good. And I keep saying to myself, are they really this good? The Eagles are good. This is weird. I don't feel comfortable. I'm just waiting for...
Do you fear like a major, like catastrophic injury?
Injury. I'm telling you, I've been waiting for this to happen. I knew it was going to happen. So this is going to sound crazy.
Lindsay, you're on fire back there.
What can I say?
I felt like this.
I love echo effect.
That was a great clip.
Go ahead.
This was coming. There have been several times in my life where I guess you would call it a sussler, where I've had a bad feeling about certain things. My mom, it's the same thing. We both get bad feelings. It's never like something good. We never sense something good is going to happen in the future. Like, I've gotten in two car accidents in my life, and I knew they were going to happen right before they happened. Like, I got a feeling about it. Like, I sensed it. I swear
to
God.
You sense a disturbance.
Yeah. And my mom does the same thing. She's done it a couple different times with different things. And I felt this happening. I knew it the whole time. This is why I couldn't get excited about the Eagles. I felt like there was going to be a massive injury, and I never wanted to say Carson Wentz, but I felt like it was going to be at the quarterback position. And it happened.
So I feel bad for you. All Eagles fans, I mean, keep a reminder that Super Bowl 52 is being played in a couple of months, and the Eagles have never won a Super Bowl. And this was by far, in my life, there were some really good Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb teams, but this team really seemed like the best Eagles team. Maybe in the last 20, 30 years. And now what are you going to do? It's Nick Foles or bust, and probably bust, let's be honest.
Probably bust. I do think they have a chance to make the Super Bowl. Now, I don't think they have a better chance than some other NFC teams, but I think they are one of, you know, five or six teams that could make it, and they have one clear advantage, which is that I think they can get home field. First of all, they basically clinched the bye on Sunday. So they're going to have a home game in the divisional round. If you look at their next,
if they beat the Giants, then they
right easy schedule coming up.
Their next three games are Giants, Raiders, Cowboys. I think they can win all three of those with Nick Foles. We've seen Nick Foles in a highly schemed offense play pretty well, and this time he's got a great O-line, a great D-line, and a lot of things around him. So I think if they can get home field advantage, they got a shot. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you. You're going to an experienced starter. I'm not saying he's a backup for a reason. But if he doesn't get into a scenario where he's turning the ball over and killing them in certain situations, they can wind up at this point 14-2 with the tiebreaker over the Rams. They will get home field advantage, and we'll see where it goes from there.
To be honest, like this is, I feel more comfortable with this team now. This feels more like an Eagles team.
Expectations are lower now,
right? Because now you have Foles in there. They've had so many different injuries that they've been able to overcome. This is obviously so much different than Jason Peters going down, or you know Darren Sproles going down, or anybody else that they've had go down during the season. But
it'd be Wentz. Anybody but Wentz. I thought Kevin Clark, who writes for The Ringer, made a good point that, yeah, if the Eagles do get to the Super Bowl with Nick Foles, it's not so much because the Eagles are so good that they still make it. It would be kind of an indictment of the NFC and in general the league not having another team that could beat what is clearly a compromised Philly team. I don't want to see I don't want to see the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
If the Eagles win in the Super Bowl, it's like, oh God, that was an awful year. It's not even like the Eagles and Eagles fans would be able to like celebrate it that much because it would be like
they won the Super Bowl.
What I'm saying is everybody would be like take that stance like, oh God, what an awful year.
Well, my concern,
the Eagles won with Nick Foles.
My concern would be they would sneak into the Super Bowl and then get waxed in the game. And it's
That's silly though. Case Keenum is the starting quarterback of the other favorite. Case Keenum.
I've thought about that.
Can we see Nick Foles playing this offense before totally making a value? He's going to be a huge downgrade from Carson Wentz, but he's been in this offense under Andy Reid. for a while. Some of the run pass option stuff is similar to when he did well under Chip Kelly. I'm just saying, let's
what's
see
not
what
silly
like.
Is to say that the season has been incredibly soiled by star players going down. And I think that's the point, that it all feels like a shadow of what we should be experiencing from the Eagles. And Colleen, you're an empath, by the way. Highly sensitive person.
Ooh.
That's why you feel these things.
That's really? Like the singer Lorde. Mm-hmm. She sees music in colors, like in her brain.
Really?
Yeah. She like you might have those type of situations going on.
I swear. Yes. My mom and I both have it. It's weird.
It's a good lane to be in. Huh. Be the Lorde of NFL.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not the only. You're not the only upset Eagles fan. Let's check in with some sports talk radio in the city of brotherly love.
We lived and died by Carson Wentz. We live and died by Doug Peterson. He's a riverboat gambler.
Nick Foles can manage the game, but Doug is past happy. Run the ball, Doug. I don't have confidence in Doug Peterson and his play calling anymore. He's too past happy.
I think the Eagles are destined for great things still, despite Carson's injury, as bad as it could be.
I've been waiting for a championship for 57 years. Aww. I can't wait 57 more years.
How are you guys going to get sound from the Fanatic and not WIP? Yikes. Really?
Ouch.
Come on.
Little Philly burn.
Yeah, WIP is the only station.
Mm. Is that your old home?
It is.
And the Fanatic is trash?
Yeah, you know, it's just not as good as WIP.
Okay. Good. I'm
feel
glad
for those
that that's
fans.
On the record.
That's rough. Yep. That was rough to listen to.
By the way, not the only quarterback injury. Josh McCown will miss the rest of the season with a broken left hand. And this is also sad, not at the same level in terms of the impact to the league, but Josh McCown is one of the good guys in football and was so close to finally getting through a full season, healthy, having the best season of his career. And in true McCown fashion, in true Jets fashion at the cursed quarterback position, it is not a happy ending. McCown, very emotional, talking about the bittersweet nature of his season. Let's check that out.
It just sucks, you know. We started slow and trying to get back going, and guys are fighting, and you know when you can't be out there for your guys, I think that's the hardest thing, and so it's just disappointing, and I just hate that it went this way today.
Real bummer. Mark, you remember last year when McCown went down with the Browns, he had a similarly emotional press conference.
Yeah, and I think at that point, you know, he's not young, and he was confronting the concept of, will I be a starter again? Will I ever play again? And everywhere that Josh McCown goes, and he's been to a lot of places, he leaves with people who cover the team or people who are his teammates, his coaches, saying, this is an unusual guy. For all the tedious personalities that we cover, this is a complete breath of fresh air in the NFL. And I'll tell you what, one team is going to get him as a coach. He's going to become a great coach. They've been saying that about him for a long time.
Yeah, and if they do go the route, they're most likely going to draft a quarterback, I think, the Jets. If they do go that route, if they can afford it and they can make it happen, I think Josh McCown being in the building would be a brilliant move.
Great idea.
Yeah.
To have somebody as a bridge guy / mentor.
I expect it at this point.
And you see McCown and all of the injuries that happened this year, and it just makes Eli Manning's streak that he had so impressive when you take a step back and look at it.
Yeah. How do we protect these guys? Finally, one more bit of injury news with quarterbacks. Tom Savage, who suffered that scary concussion in the loss to the 49ers, Bill O'Brien, the Texans coach, told reporters that Houston's medical staff initially cleared Savage to return before the coach asked them to examine him a second time. And now the NFL announced that the league has initiated a joint investigation with the NFL Players Association into the handling of Savage's concussion. So obviously that did not go the way it should have gone. I guess in defense of Bill O'Brien, Tom Savage said, I'm not allowed to talk to the media when I'm in concussion protocol. But he tweeted that O'Brien is one of those guys that really does care and look after his own players. This was just kind of an unfortunate situation.
Just seeing the replay of that and the highlight, and if you're watching the video show, you just did, but it is so upsetting to see what happens after the hit and when he's on the ground and he's just shaking.
There's too much time on these Tuesday shows
awful.
Talking about investigations. I know. Every week there's an investigation. This is an investigation. We're not even mentioning that the NFL is investigating, you know, the Seahawks, the end of that game situation and how that all went down. The Jaguars have been saying they're going to find those fans and not let them in the building again. It's like too many investigations.
Yeah, no more investigations.
A lot of them.
A lot of investigations. All right. There you go. That's what's happening in the news. All right. Now, we haven't done it in a while. In fact, here I am. Dear old dad took Jackie Boy, my 3-year-old son, to Rocco's, the bar and grill.
Good place to take a 3-year-old.
Yeah, a little lunch. It's not like one of the bars you go to, Mark, where it's just like a depressing hole in the wall. Everybody just gets drunk.
Why does it have to be a depressing hole in the wall?
How dare you talk about the Cozy Inn that way?
It's like no. 11,
Cozy doesn't do it.
11 a.m. Everyone's on their third beer at like 11 a.m.
It's like the shuffleboard.
Look at the two of you. I know Colleen's on my side on this.
I am. Anyway. You on your high horses.
Okay, everybody calm down. I took my son to a bar and grill, and on the television above the bar, I was drinking water, by the way, was a ESPN program that was playing a game called What's More Likely. And you know what? Actually, it wasn't What's More Likely. It was More Likely. And it's like, all right, I see you. You're thinking because we haven't done it in a while, we're done and you could take our IP. That's intellectual property.
Never.
Sorry.
Nah, brah.
Not how this works.
Nah, brah. So here we go, baby. Shoulders of Greatness presented by Head & Shoulders. Oh, yeah. It's so important. We have a sponsor for our next segment.
I love it.
What's More Likely?
What's More Likely?
Oh, yeah.
Woo. I feel like we needed an applause there or something.
Take it back.
Look at that.
We're going to go around the room twice. Connie, let's start with you. I want to get both of yours in because I know you have that infernal production meeting.
It's
so important that you have to leave one of the most popular NFL podcasts in America early every show.
But then,
I mean, talk about just internal, just like, what do you call that? A bureaucracy.
Just a labyrinth of nonsense.
I did not set the meeting time, but got to go. But I do wave to you guys from my seat in the meeting when you walk past the conference room.
Do we see you?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, last week I did.
All right, good.
Okay, so my first one here.
Let me just let the audience know. If you are new to the show, we are going to present two options. The general plan, and maybe it wasn't clear with you yesterday, Colleen, so don't worry about it. Yours could be more open-ended.
Okay.
Was as we look to the final 3 weeks of the regular season, an either-or game, you throw it out there, and then the rest of us decide which one's more likely. It's pretty basic. All right.
Okay. Definitely not within the rules.
Here. IP, ESPN. Ever heard of it?
Here we go. First up.
Take it back.
So we're going to the postseason here, everybody. We are jumping over these next couple weeks. Few weeks. So the Vikings become the first team to play a Super Bowl at home.
You went for it.
I know. Or the Jaguars go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, so, I mean, hey, look, both could actually happen. Because I feel like with the Patriots, the way that they're playing right now, I don't think that they want to face the Jaguars with that defense, especially what we saw this past weekend. And Blake Bortles, he's actually playing a little bit better lately.
So what you're asking
really
is...
talking yourself.
What's more likely?
Yes.
I would say this. I think the Jaguars, no matter where they end up this season, that fan base should be very excited about the future. They've got a lot of young players in-house for years to come. I'm going with the Vikings because you've got a dominant defense still. A little concerned about the offensive line, but you just saw the Eagles. We talked about it. They lost their star quarterback. The Vikings can get there, and there's a lot of motivation to play that Super Bowl at home for the first time in NFL history.
I wouldn't have said it until your boy Carson went down.
Right.
I know.
Now that the NFC is super wide open, and I think anybody that qualifies for the playoffs in the NFC could conceivably end up playing in February, I will say the Vikings more likely than the Jets.
That bye will be huge to get for Minnesota. And it's not a sure thing considering their injuries and a pretty relatively tough schedule coming up, especially if Aaron Rodgers get back, that they get the bye. But I got to go with Minnesota. It's still Blake Bortles we're talking about having to beat either New England or Pittsburgh or possibly both. And I just don't see that happening. They might get Baltimore in the first round too. That's a dangerous wild card team. Minnesota's my easy choice.
All right, Mark, you're up.
We didn't want to do a second one with Colleen.
I think we still have 10 minutes.
Okay. Let me guide the show, Mark.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, wait. We got a host here.
Hello. Okay. This one has multiple options, but it is a stretch run.
Okay.
scenario. What's more likely? John Fox survives the next 3 weeks and returns in 2018. Marvin Lewis survives the next 3 weeks and returns in 2018. Hugh Jackson survives the next 3 weeks and returns in 2018. Or none of them do, but Hugh Jackson winds up as the Bengals coach in 2018.
Wow.
Well, only one of these coaches actually has public ownership support. The catch there, of course, is that it's the Browns owner that's given the support. So you have to devise how to, like, figure out how to dig into that. I don't know. I'm going to say Hugh, though. I'll say Hugh just because of the ownership.
Okay.
That Hugh
survives.
Just because the owner said
they've said it. Right.
But I don't know if that's true.
In theory, this doesn't really go with the rules that you set up either, because this could go into February or something like that.
All right, Greg, thank you for that asterisk.
I'm just saying.
Appreciate that comment.
I am not alone.
I just wanted to make
precious time ticking away with Colleen.
Thank you, Greg.
I will say it's more likely that they're all fired and that Hugh Jackson ends up in Cincinnati.
I agree with
you. That just feels like a thing that can happen in the year 2018. I don't think any of them
Marvin
will be
Lewis
back.
Is an idiot. I think the Bengals owner may be higher on Hugh Jackson than the Browns owner.
I think
ultimately.
You're right on that. I like this prediction a lot. I feel like that's almost like a sandwich.
Here's
point,
the
right?
thing, though: the Browns have to lose out. I think if they win a game, then it'll be tougher for Jimmy Haslam to go back on what he just said. But I think they will lose out.
Don't they play the Bears this week?
Not.
They play the Ravens.
John Fox and Hugh Jackson.
Ravens, Bears,
very
and Steelers. They can go 8-0.
Bears is a very winnable game. It's one of the worst teams in football.
The Hugh Jackson-Cincinnati connection is obvious, but is it a possibility that a coach will go 1-31 and pivot immediately into a new job at his old gig? I guess it's possible. I don't know.
Mike
McCarthy
difficult
was the
scenario.
Offensive coordinator of a 1-15 team, not even a head coach, and he got the Packers job.
Give me
you
Hugh
got some conviction.
In Cincinnati.
You can do it.
All right.
I'll go. Good one, guys. Good. A lot of good energy there. My turn.
Good post. What's more likely wrap up scenario by you, Dan?
All right. Here we go. Here's mine.
It was Belichickian.
Now, this is based on the last 3 weeks of the regular season.
Good job.
What's more likely? The Eagles hold on to that number one seed or the Falcons miss the playoffs entirely?
Ooh. Okay, what's the Falcons' schedule here?
Pulling up the old playoff picture.
I don't need to look at the schedule. I'll tell you what. I'll go Falcons because we just talked about that Eagles schedule.
They have a rough one.
And I think the Eagles are going to win home. You said home field advantage.
Number one seed.
You said keep it, right?
They keep it. Mm-hmm. They end up getting the number one seed at the end of the regular season.
I'm going there. I think the Eagles, the Falcons could fade.
Here's
I
the,
think
Falcons the Falcons' remaining fade. Schedule. At Bucks, 4-9.
But you have to choose which is more likely. That's the whole thing.
The Eagles are more likely to keep home field advantage.
Okay. At Bucks, this is the Falcons' schedule. At Bucks, home to at Saints, mm-hmm. home to Panthers. Not an easy slate.
The Saints and the Panthers, those last two games are going to be really tough for them. I think they miss out on the playoffs.
And they right now, they are in the playoffs if the postseason started tomorrow or even in like 3 seconds. Oh, postseason just started. They're in. They would be the sixth seed at 8-5. They have to figure out probably most likely a way to win two out of those three games at the least.
Yeah,
I think so.
That's the hope for those other, you know, the 7-6 Cowboys and Packers and everything. It's because the Falcons and Seahawks both have pretty tough schedules here, and they could both fall out of it, and you can at least see a scenario with that. I'm going with the Eagles because the Vikings also have some tough games. I don't think it's a lock that they're going 3-0 and can pass Philadelphia. I think it's home field advantage and maybe all that energy in Philadelphia.
God, and then what if they lose in that first game?
You know what?
That's very pot. I kind of can see that. Like New Orleans
I feel like that's
goes there.
It gives me a little flashbacks of, although it was different because they didn't end up winning the division, but all the excitement around the Raiders last year, and then they got to the playoffs. And so, it's still fun to have the Raiders back. And then you watch the game, and you're like,
all I'd say is this is a much better team than that Raiders team was.
Yeah,
it's true.
A lot of that was because the greatness of Carson Wentz, though, isn't it? I mean, I know they're
a very solid team. Yes, they're a very solid team.
That Raiders team had no defense, and it had Connor Cook. So that's
These are probably the best weapons that Nick Foles has ever been surrounded by, too, in terms of the offense.
Are these the best weapons you've ever been surrounded by? Just like
apparently not. She's 4 minutes away from going to an
NFL
production
meeting. I know. Oh, my God. She got 4 minutes left.
Good Morning Football Saturday edition October 17th show when Victor Cruz sat in. That was the best.
Goosebumps. All right. Before we get to you, Greg, let's get one more from Connie Fox.
Here we go. What's more likely?
It's like you're reading like an essay in junior high.
Okay. I know. I hated reading out loud.
What's more like?
I used to like get really nervous and sweat when I would read. It was awful. My
good qualities for a host
red.
Using a teleprompter.
I know. It's ironic.
I don't know why I chose this.
As a professional career.
Nobody knows. Okay. Cam Newton launches a Halloween superstore filled with all of his game day outfits as children's costumes. Or... Mark Sessler spends one final year at the NFL Network before deciding to quit and open a cat sanctuary in Mexico, with satellite locations later expanding to Moscow, Medellin, and The Hague, the Netherlands.
Medellin.
Wow. I love that.
This one, this one
you said you woke up at 5 in the morning and your first thought was, I need to come up with a what's more likely. And this is where your mind went. Very interesting.
And thank you for connecting this one to the regular season.
No problem.
Yes.
No problem. It's within the rules.
I'm going to go Cam because although ATN Cat, briefly warmed up Mark's heart for a little bit, he still doesn't really, not into cats. And I think
he's allergic to them.
I feel like he has a change of heart, though, with all the cats running
Cam
around
Newton,
his yard.
Cam Newton outfits could be big sellers. He's looking to break into.
I guess you could do a more corporate, overview.
I'd have to take overview.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd move personally to Mexico, but I'd open a cat shop or whatever we'd call it in Mexico and all these other places and kind of fly around and oversee it.
Mark does often talk about leaving this job, so that part of it matches
I don't talk about that very often.
Would you move to The Hague?
Well, I would zoom in between all these locations, sure.
Also, Cam takes himself way too seriously to open up a Halloween store. Mm. I could totally see Cam opening up something on... Rodeo Drive post-career and is like Cam line. But he would never do something that was tongue-in-cheek or had any semblance of a sense of humor.
Yeah, he doesn't view those clothes as Halloween appropriate. They're simply his clothes.
Yes.
The Titanic still has to go.
So the game, you have to say what's more likely.
Yeah, the more likely scenario would be Mark ending up being the overseer of a massive conglomerate cat. Savior?
Sanctuary. Yeah.
Everyone would kind of have to like you for doing that, too. That's kind of a good role to take.
Yeah.
Could be worse. All right. So. I just don't get who's behind this meeting, the bureaucracy at play.
There are shadowy league figures
the red
there.
It is funny, though. No matter what situation we set up trying to avoid this happening again, it
I have to leave every time.
No matter what.
Yep, sound the buzzer.
I have to reach under and unplug this.
I know. Every week it's kind of
gigantic Mac plug.
Thank you.
What is going on in that meeting, honestly? It's the power ranking show.
Yeah, you guys should watch it, everybody. It's on Tuesdays.
It's a great show. It's not that. It's but Elliot Harrison writes the column that you guys then, you, MJD, and Elliot argue about.
We argue about what we're going to argue about. On the show.
In the meeting, yeah.
I would say just go into the taping, just fly blind.
Go raw.
I always say, can we please save it for the show? Like you always say, save it for the pod.
Yeah.
But
you could just read the article out loud on the air. That could take a while.
That's true. That's a great
point. Just an idea.
You should be a producer.
Wait, before you, just one, Christian, you had a comment about Colleen's garb today, and you can watch
my garb.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a big week for the nerds out there, and she looks like she's dressed for the Star Wars premiere. She's got like the Jedi kind of.
It's a sweater. It's kind of like 70s.
I would call it flowing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like a blanket that is wrapped around me.
I think the lightsaber on the hip is a little bit of.
I kind of like it because it's like a robe.
It looks comfortable. You wear comfortable clothes.
I'm practical.
That's
Christian. So you're a big Star Wars guy.
I'm a fan, sure.
Yeah. So you see now, Mark's got. Buddy to talk about.
Are we allowed to talk about Star Wars on this show?
No, not allowed. Okay. We could throw some lasers in there. There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, bye, guys.
By the way, I didn't mean comfortable like you wear sweatsuits. Just like the material
like
typical.
Like the Juicy Couture ones that used to be really cool.
I'm staying out of this.
It's usually like a nice soft fabric. See? You know what you're doing.
All right, we'll see you at the holiday party, Colleen. I'm sure you're going to be ready to roll.
Okay, bye.
Tiny box. There she goes. All right, Greg, you're up.
All right. Here we go. What's more likely? Okay. Philip Rivers leads the Chargers.
Greg couldn't stop thinking about Star Wars. He's like, wow.
He's like,
the
wow.
The Last Jedi.
It's finally time for me to get into this franchise now.
I'm going to start checking it out. Philip Rivers leads the Chargers to a 10-6 record and rides the wave to win most valuable player. In a now wide open field. Or the Seahawks don't win another game. finish 8-8, setting off a stormy offseason in Seattle? What's more likely?
That's a good one.
Two things I'll just throw out there. Fairly unlikely. Underside, what's more likely?
I can't see Seattle go. I could see them having a rocky offseason, even if they don't go 0-3 and finish 8-8. So I'm gonna. I will presume they go 0-3 in this scenario, and that they have a rocky offseason. I see that coming one way or another, because I think that there have been whispers for years that Pete Carroll may be not a coach who stays forever at this point, that he may be ready at some point. He is.
The oldest coach.
Done a great job, and he's going to have to assess, like, is the future.
Act young.
Yeah, he does act young. Absolutely. No, he doesn't seem old.
My mom likes him.
It's not Rod Rust, but I mean, I would just say that maybe a stormy offseason would be in store for Seattle.
Back to when the throne of ease was much different.
That was not a throne.
Rod Rust was coaching the team.
Yeah, my mom finds Pete Carroll attractive.
He has excellent. You guys always like to kill me about you could look at it age chronologically.
Yeah.
I think the key is to not look at it that way. The Pete Carroll does not care how old he is.
He's got good
numerically,
energy.
He's got good.
Young at heart.
When you see him in person, we've all met him like in interviews and stuff. It plays. I love Pete Carroll for that reason. Yeah.
Anyway, that's not really what we're talking about. What we want to get to the heart of is this what more likely. Greg, I believe these are two highly, although a good what's more likely, highly implausible scenarios.
Because what makes a good what's more likely?
I think there are like two things that there's just like a little bit of a chance.
Yeah, it's not ridiculous, but they're very implausible. And I think the Seahawks, I view their floor at 9-7. They've been around too long. They have Russell Wilson, who I still very much believe is a guy that will always will them to an extra couple of wins. And they've just been, even with their injuries, I think 9-7 at worst. So I don't think they're going to lose out. And then Phillip Rivers, that's the pie in the sky. That's fun. I'll say that's more likely, but it's more because it would kind of be a fun ride to see him really kind of late in his career have this huge national moment. So I'll say that's what I want, and it's probably a little bit more likely, but it's not very likely.
I don't know how he would
ever. Going to play the Rams this week at Cowboys with Zeke.
But let's say one thing. Let's say Brady, let's say things don't go great for the Patriots at the quarterback position for the next 3 weeks, and let's say the same thing sort of happens with Russell Wilson. I think Antonio Brown becomes the obvious MVP candidate.
This game, Brown versus Brady, could be for the MVP.
That's fun.
Could be.
Wentz going out for the year, it looked like Tommy was, if he blew up the Dolphins, he would have been in the driver's seat again. And now it does feel wide open MVP.
I think he's still the favorite because his season's been better. But the fact that happened on primetime, and then it also, does it augur like a bad 3 weeks to follow? I think
you never know.
That's what.
Does Wentz get any votes with just three games remaining?
I don't think he
does. I don't think you can. I think you got to play the whole.
It's such a messy year. I mean, I think Antonio Brown in the course of 72 hours.
Brady got a lot of votes last year and he missed four games. But a little different
situation. That was in the front. Yeah. People forget about that.
That will be, wow.
In the race.
If Antonio Brown goes nuts or continues to go nuts and they take that one seed,
I think he's
the guy.
He's got to be.
We'll see. When's the last time a wide receiver won MVP? I think it was like Jerry Rice.
Never.
88? Wait, Rice never won?
Montana was winning.
He never won the Associated Press, which now is the only MVP award. No receiver has ever won it. Rice won back in the day. There used to be multiple MVP awards. People kind of forget this. Like the Pro Football Writers had one and people cared about that. And Rice did win that once. But no one's actually won this award.
Rice's, I think it was his 87 season,
maybe. It was.
That is, when you look at within what the rest of the NFL was like at the time, he was putting out Antonio Brown numbers now with 22 touchdowns or whatever.
Multiple years in a row he was doing this too.
Best season ever from a wide receiver. All right, Mark, you got another one?
Yeah, okay. What is more likely?
we use the contraction around here.
Okay. Yeah. Qual es tu fantasia? No, all right. Dan holds on to win our season-long Lock It Up Challenge.
Oi!
This dips marginally into the playoffs, by the way.
No.
Dan holds on to win our season-long Lock It Up Challenge and convinces NFL media to put up the ample funds to purchase a high-octane, name-engraved, fancy trophy
He
keeps at his desk all season. The trophy lights up every 20 minutes, emitting a high-pitched wailing siren while unfurling a loud recording that screams over the newsroom, "This one's for media insider Dan. This one's for media insider Dan." Or When New England's loss to Miami spirals into an ugly late-season swoon, followed by a one-and-done playoff loss, Los Angeles firefighters are signaled to the third-story apartment of mega Pats fan Erica Tamposi, who they find stationed dangerously out on the building's ledge in her Danny Amendola jersey, shouting into the wind about the utter meaningless of contemporary adult life in the United States.
I'd have to go with the Tamposi scenario. I can see that. You know, the trophy feels like cutting your nose to spite your face. Dan wants to, you know, show everyone he's a champion, but it's going to make his life a living hell to have that noise every 20 minutes.
I could see you, Dan, warming up to
like
it a little
that.
Bit.
Kind of like that.
Well, it's going to make our life a living hell.
Oh, well, yes. That,
I hope.
Yes.
You know, I'm sorry for Tamposi.
You want Tamposi out on a ledge.
Yeah. I don't want that sound saying. Every 20 minutes.
By the way, it's really still a race for the trophy. It's a two-game lead that I have.
I initially
with three games to play.
Yes, actually, this is why I initially had it. The second scenario had me picking the 49ers for the rest of the year,
yeah.
and then going into the playoffs and tying you up and then beating you.
Yeah.
But I felt like,
well, the playoffs. Yeah, there's the playoffs.
Who was going to vote for that?
Should we? But here's a real question, and try to look at it from just take a big overview look at it.
Bird's eye view.
Should bird's eye view? Thank you. Should this trophy, the ATN lockup trophy, should it be a regular season prize like the MVP?
Well, didn't we keep track last year in the playoffs?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe we should establish this. Just because locking games up in the playoffs, it's kind of a different beast, and maybe that is not the – especially if it's close. I mean, I'm open to however you guys want to do. I just don't want to be caught in like, oh, Dan decided it ended early.
This?
It's like
– I'd say go in the playoffs because we're picking close games anyways. Half the time we're picking underdogs.
Yeah, if anything, how about this – we'll do a trophy. This year goes to the Super Bowl, so it's not essentially already a wrapped competition. And next year, if we want to make it just regular season,
no, I think we have to decide right now what it is.
We did these games. We've always picked games all the way up to the Super Bowl.
That's a
and,
all right.
You know, last year, someone in this room – predicted an overtime Super Bowl, would have gotten a bonus point there potentially.
You,
you know, I think we go all the way because, number one, if you continue to perform the way you have,
yes.
the playoffs shouldn't concern you.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine.
Well, it gets tricky, but I'm not afraid of it. If that's how we want to do it, let's do it that way. All right.
Well, that brings the trophy into a realistic consideration.
It also, it was always going to happen, by the way.
I know.
Lindsay.
oh, wait, so do I get my trophy from last year for winning last year?
I think I won last year.
No.
I was ahead in the all-time standings, wasn't it?
Well,
that was
you know, there's going to be like 12. We'll obviously be doing the show for another 20 years, so we'll have a room for 20 nameplates, and I think it starts with this year. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah, you do miss out.
Yikes.
That's a tough situation for you, Greg. Lindsay, you have a couple extra weeks to get the trophy together.
Okay, good
All right,
know.
Here we go. What's more likely? You ready for this? We got to get out of here, so let's be a little quick.
Yeah.
Here we go. What's more likely? Packers win out. Not even saying whether they make the playoffs. Packers went out or Cowboys went out.
Well, as we tape this, we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be back this week. And Ian Rapoport, maybe this is going to be old news by the time you know you listen to this. But the signs to me are not overly positive, and they have a really tough schedule anyway. So I'm going to go Cowboys.
Panthers, Vikings, and Lions for the Packers with Aaron Rodgers in mind.
At Carolina.
Yep.
You know, home for the Vikings at Detroit. I don't think with Aaron Rodgers you're winning all three of those games. So I'm going to go Cowboys just for the heck.
Cowboys at Raiders, home against the Seahawks, on the road against the Nick Foles-led Eagles. I'm going to go Packers.
I think the Cowboys are more likely. And I would say if the Cowboys get hot here, and I know they've had an up-and-down season, but if they get hot and the NFC playoff picture, I wouldn't be surprised if they could make a run this year, too. They're a team I got my eye on.
I am nuts. I'm going Dallas.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Forget Green Bay here.
Okay. Last one. Greg, take us home.
What's more likely? The Patriots win Sunday in Pittsburgh.
Still thinking about Star Wars.
And eventually earn home field advantage. Or.
Who won the Steelers?
The Patriots.
The Patriots won.
And they earn home field advantage.
Or
Blake Bortles is playing a home game in the AFC playoffs.
Well, by that meaning, we'd say they'd win their division.
Yeah. They still have to win in Tennessee or else, and they lost that game the first time.
I think the smart desert money is always to say that the Patriots will win. So I will go with that for that reason. Then they're also the best team in the league, in my
opinion. You think they're going to win Sunday in Pittsburgh even more than you think the Jaguars are going to hold off the Titans?
Yeah, because I still don't trust Blake Bortles. I could see him kicking away a game or two down the stretch here, so
I think they're both going to happen. What's more likely, I think, is that Jacksonville is going to run away with that division. They are by far the better team, and they can beat any team in the league in any week if they continue to get what happened with Blake Bortles.
And Marcus Mariota's injury is also something to track. Now, remember when he was so limited with the hamstring injury? Now he's got a sprained knee. And it's like, what is going to happen to the Titans now? Wonder if they just fade out of this entirely.
But I think they have been fading, and they will continue to do so.
All right, there you go. Shoulders of Greatness presented by Head & Shoulders. The What's More Likely edition. Listen, ESPN, we respect what you've done. But if you want to use our ideas, there's probably got to be some type of transfer.
I would say.
Monetary transfer in the future.
You know, they've got money. Give it to us if you want what we come up with.
Then you can have anything you want. Probably. It's not like we. It's not
we'll
like
give you all of it.
It's not like we'd be like, no, you know, that means a lot to our show.
It's
no,
out.
No, no. You could take anything if you just take out the checkbook. Right, Greg?
Money solves everything.
It does.
All right. That is it for the Tuesday edition of the Around the NFL podcast. By the way, this, of course, was our live stream. If you want to, for instance, see Colleen's flowing shirt, you would have to watch the video show. So right there is a sell for the show. Also, Greg is wearing one of his Henleys, and it shows off his collarbones.
Yeah.
And that's pretty sexy.
It couldn't be easier to find on our website, so just dial right in, NFL.com. It should be sitting right there for you.
The live stream is airing at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, today, Tuesday. And, a reminder, NFL Pick'em, which we're going to we do those shoots during the week, but that airs on Saturdays at 6 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Eastern. Looks like we lost some airings on that one. But, hey, listen, nothing lasts forever. And nor does that show for us. All right. That's it. Let's have fun at the holiday party tonight. Don't get in any trouble.
You know, just, you're talking to us.
Yeah, just be good boys. That's all. Okay. Let's go home.
Look in the mirror, please.
This is Dan Hanses. Signing off for Quiet Storm, Connie Fox, the old boss, Lindsay Fulton, Behind the Glass, Christian Anderson, and everybody else. Thanks, everybody. Till Thursday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.